This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
My brother Rob says that when it comes to technology, if anything's going to go wrong, it'll happen to Brother Dave. So that's kind of the... But this passage would say that work goes better with a friend. I had a friend who was working on the end of a house. He was on a scaffold. He was on pump jacks. It was a cold winter day. He was by himself. And as he was there, the pump jack broke and down he went and landed on the ground. There were people inside the house, but they could not hear him. And there he lay by himself. It is better to have some with you when you fall, when you are at work. When things turn cold, it's good to have a friend. And we know that many times in life, there are things that come to us that are difficult for us to overcome. I think of a little 5-year-old girl whose daddy died from cancer. And a thought, I think, began to register in her heart. Why did God take my daddy? So often in situations as a church or as people, we fail to be there when people need us the most. When being attacked by the enemy, it's good to have a friend. Jonathan had an armor bearer, and we know the story of how he was able to be victorious with someone to carry his sword and his shield. But unfortunately, as a small child, I can do it myself. Taught to be tough. A little child, you know, you go down and you want to help him tie his shoes and he's learning and he says, I can do it myself. And you know what I believe, people, is that many times we've had this expectation that we should be strong and we ought to be able to do it ourselves. But what happens when we can't do it ourselves? So we're taught not to cry. We're taught to go it alone. We're conditioned to be a lone ranger. Now, isn't that an irony? Stop and think about it. We're a part of a brotherhood where people should be there for each other, and yet many times we find ourselves expected to and somehow wanting ourselves to be able to make it on our own. As I look at this passage, what does this really mean? The power of a threefold cord. The word means, it actually means not easy to tear off. Not easy to root out or to pull out. Not easy to break away or draw away. And so God has provided for us in brotherhood a way by which in our most needy moments, there would be someone there to minister to our heart's need. What are the motivations for a threefold cord? Some of us are laboring on projects in our own personal lives that would go much better if we made room for a friend. My brother and I, we had this thing with our personal devotions. We're struggling to maintain that discipline. And so every morning, we would call each other. My brother Paul, he said, Dave, you awake? I say, yeah. That was years ago where we kind of held each other accountable as a way to help us keep the commitment that we wanted to keep. Some of us are facing the cruel elements alone. Let me just tell you, there are a lot of circumstances and situations in life that really test a person's stamina and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of a young boy. I got the phone call one night, and I was asked to go over, and father had experienced a brain injury, and the son had gone through a number of operations, and he looked up at me, and he, with tears in his eyes, he said, Brother Dave, is Satan winning? How do you answer those kinds of questions. Some of us have fallen into a deep pit and need someone to hand us a rope, someone to help us get out of the pit where we have fallen. And then some of us are facing the relentless attacks of the enemy, and we need someone to help carry our sword. So what I want us to think about today is our own personal lives and our journey of faith. And I would ask this little question: how well are you doing this journey of faith, this thing called Christianity? How's it going for you? What's it really like inside your heart? And what would you really like? What would you desire as you think about the relationships that you have? So as we have this principle of a threefold cord, the first thing I would say, we recognize that in each of us we have a deceitful heart. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it, or who can understand it? Another place he says, it's not in the way of man to direct his steps. That's simply telling us that all of us are prone to falling, or we're prone to needing someone to help us walk through our lives. There needs to be a commitment to be honest with God and myself and with others. Now, let me ask you something. Why are we afraid of each other? You ever think about that? I find that many times it's very difficult for people to be honest about what's really happening in your life. What do you tell people when they say, how are you doing? How's things going? And what I would like to have you think about is that in brotherhood, if you're going to be accountable, there needs to be a commitment to be honest with God, with yourself, and with others. And there needs to be a willingness to confess my sins. And we all know that that's not easy for us to do. And yet there's a tremendous freedom. I remember one day, Saturday morning, about 6 or 8 of us men would meet together. And we didn't talk about the weather, although sometimes we talked about the weather when we first get started. This particular morning, I was not looking forward to going to the accountability group. And actually, before I went, something had happened that week where I had faced a particular temptation which I didn't handle very well at all. And in my mind, I told myself, I will never share what happened to me this week. I went to accountability group that morning. Somehow in the midst of that time there, I found myself sharing exactly what had taken place in my life. And it was embarrassing, yes. It was humiliating. But let me tell you what happened. Instead of going away from that experience with guilt and with feeling depressed, I went away from that experience with tremendous encouragement and tremendous hope, because there were people that gathered around me and were able to lift me up and pray for me. And by the way, let me just say, one of the neatest things to be able to do to a brother or sister when they've confessed their sin is to be able to say to them, you know, on the basis of your confession, I want you to know that you're forgiven. And that is off the slate. I hope I'm communicating some of what I see in the importance of the brotherhood and being a threefold cord. There needs to be a commitment to loving confrontation. And by the way, I think that in brotherhood, this needs to happen. All of us need people who will speak into our lives. But there is a way to do that. One thing that I've suggested is that when you go to someone, you simply say, you know, brother, this is something I've observed. I don't know if it's true or not, but would you test it with the Holy Spirit to see whether he confirms what I've been noticing or what I'm telling you? And a good way to receive correction or admonition is to simply thank them and say, would you allow me time? Would you allow me the grace to be able to test this with the Holy Spirit to see if what he's telling me affirms what you're saying? You know what I found? Many times, even though we are not quick to admit it, there's usually an element of truth in criticism that comes to us that God wants us to pay attention to and he wants us to work on in our lives. But that's a way to do that in a non-threatening kind of way. And of course, this is one of my favorite passages. God asked Cain, he said, Cain, where's your brother? Cain basically said, I don't know where my brother is. And he could have well said, I don't really care where my brother is. Am I my brother's keeper? And I would like to suggest today, yes, yes, indeed, we are each other's brother's keeper and sister's keeper. By the way, did you know something? People you're sitting beside today, you know they're made of the same material that you are. Do you know that most likely they struggle with some of the same fears, some of the same anxieties, some of the same temptations that you face? Do you think about what a blessing it would be to be able to arm in arm walk through those things together? That's God's purpose and intent for the body of Christ. And this is one of my favorite passages. Let me ask you, what do you do when you fall? What's the first thing you do? Huh? Yeah. One morning I was at the local business and this guy just started mowing lawn. It was so funny. I took in the whole scene. He had gotten his walk behind mower. I don't know if he was still a little sleepy or what, but he had barely gone five steps and he was flat on the ground. He looked around, he got up with this look of surprise, like, what in the world happened? And let me ask you about falling. Falling is something that happens often very suddenly. I know from experience, my brother-in-law also tells me, he says, Dave, isn't it about time you fell off another roof? That's really encouraging, you know. But none of us like to fall, but ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Bonhoeffer says this, anyone who has seen his own wretchedness that nailed Jesus to the cross will not be horrified by the rankest of sins in a brother, but will understand that before the grace of God, there I go. And you know, what often happens in our circles when someone falls is instead of having someone there to pick them up and to help them through that, most often we find ourselves withdrawing and even can make some unfair assumptions and accusations. My brethren, these things ought not so to be among us. So a commitment to restoration, a readiness to forgive, and a commitment to giving a good report. So God has provided, I believe, a pathway for us to be able to stand beside each other and to encourage and strengthen each other in our journey of faith. Here are some practical guidelines that I'd like you to notice. This is a tough one. Transparency. How honest can I be? I was preaching about transparency as a younger minister, and my older bishop uncle came up to me and he said, Brother Dave, he said, I really believe what you are teaching, but he said, I've been betrayed too many times. And let me just say about that, as an older person now, I understand a lot more what he's talking about. Is your church a safe place? Do you have a safe place? A safe place. Wow. I wonder what we would say to that. I wonder if us, how many of us feel like we have a safe place, and how many of us feel like I don't have a safe place. I know what that feels like. We need a safe place. To be transparent. And the reason we struggle with that is because what you say can be used against you. Never forget the Sunday morning that I preached on Galatians chapter 6 back in the early 90s, and I was struggling intensely. I gave the benediction. I walked to the back of the church and stood there while they were singing a song, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "Dave, who are you trying to kid?" And before I had time to argue with the Holy Spirit, I turned around and walked back in the church. Family was sitting there. Church was still singing. I got up behind the podium and I said, "You know what, people? I'm not doing too well. It was a tough time. I'll never forget what they did." And to me, this is an illustration, brothers and sisters, of what brotherhood can and should be. People gathered around Ellie and I and the children, and they prayed for a miracle. One of the men came to me afterwards. He said, "Dave, I want you to know something. You are our pastor." That was just a simple little phrase, but it spoke volumes. And particularly the last 5 years that have been very difficult years for me personally, I realize how desperately we need someone else in our lives. Because you know what will happen to us many times, people, when we're discouraged, when we're at the end of the rope, there are some temptations that really come to us in those moments. And you may not be able to trust your own judgments and your own decisions in those times. Confidentiality. Wow, so important. We had this little thing, what is said here stays here. And when confidentiality is broken, trust is damaged, that's why people close up and are hesitant, because they really don't feel safe. You've heard me, I think, some of you have probably heard me share about my relationship with Dave Hosteller, who's gone on to be with the Lord. You know, it's amazing that two opposite personalities could become such close friends. But you know something? There was an underlying strength in our relationship. You know what it was? I knew from the bottom of my heart that Dave would never do one thing to hurt me. That's powerful. And he knew that I would not do one thing to hurt him. And that provides a tremendous place. There's that loyalty and that place of safety. And I'm going to say to us today, if you don't have someone, I mean this with all my heart, if you don't have a safe place, if you don't have at least one person that you can really share, that would be a twofold cord, that you can share your heart with, you really do need that. I really believe that. And of course, the whole idea of trust, and then the need to give a good report. Those are some practical guidelines in having a threefold cord that I think are so important in our lives. You know, we have some biblical examples. I just love this one, the first one. Moses and Aaron. Children of Israel were fighting. As long as Moses held his hands up, the children of Israel were victorious. But have you ever tried to hold your hands up for a long period of time? After a while, Moses' hands just, you know, I know he tried, but they just wouldn't stay up. And guess what? Along came Aaron and Hur, one on one side. This is a beautiful picture of a threefold cord. And they each held Moses' hands up. And then while that happened, there was victory. And let me tell you, if you have someone to help hold your hands up, you will also be able to experience victory in your life. It is so powerful. And I'll share a little later some of my own journey of how you cannot trust your own feelings many times when you are kind of ready to throw in the towel or go for plan B or whatever. You have another one in the New Testament, the paralytic and the four friends. I love the tenacity. They actually went up on the roof and tore the roof apart to bring that friend to Jesus. And you know, that's a beautiful picture of how you and I have the opportunity. We really do have the opportunity when a person's unable to carry the load himself, we have the opportunity to bring that person to Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Then I have this little diagram. It's like four windows. The first area is the public area. This is the areas of our life, people. The public area of our life would be, I know it and you know it. That's transparency. Now, some of you sitting here know me pretty good. Some of you don't know me very well at all. And if I have any, this is our tendency. If I have anything to say about it, you won't know me. Now, you can go ask my wife because she really knows me. Fact, I shouldn't share that. But anyway, transparency. I know, you know. That's an open relationship. Then there's the secret area. That's things I know about myself, but you don't know it. And, you know, I'm not going to be too inclined to tell you, see? But let me tell you, that's the area that God wants to work with in our lives. He really does. He wants us to be able to deal with those secret areas and bring them to the light. So there's hypocrisy involved in that. The third area is the blind area. This is very interesting. You know something, but I don't know it. You know what that means? That means you see something in my life that you know is going to be a problem, and yet you refuse to come tell me about it. I'll tell you what. Don't later say, I saw that coming, if you're not willing to confront that person about that area in their life. By the way, we all, like I said before, we all need our brothers and sisters to speak into our lives and to help us uncover the blind areas of our lives. Now there's the unknown area. Nobody knows. That's the area of ignorance. You don't know it, I don't know it. But hopefully, over time in our relationship, even those areas will be brought to light, and it will help us in our journey of faith. So in accountable relationships, blind spots will be revealed. As transparency increases in our lives, dishonesty, hypocrisy, and ignorance will decrease. And that's really what we want. We really want those areas to not be a part of our lives. But conversely, as ignorance, hypocrisy, and dishonesty increase in our lives, accountable relationships will decrease. So God calls us to a threefold cord. remember one Saturday morning, and I'll close with this today, but one Saturday morning, I had gone up to accountability group. Let me just backtrack a little bit. During a time of discouragement as a pastor, one night I sat down and wrote a letter of resignation to the ministry. Took a long envelope, put it in there. I could still feel these feelings. Put it in my drawer. The seed had been sown. Now, I have this question sometimes. Where does the pastor go? Who does he go to? But it's true about all of us. Where do we go? Let me tell you what happened. One Saturday morning, went up to accountability group, just not thinking about anything, and I got there, and the leader of the group, he looked at me and he said, "Dave, today is the day." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You remember?" And I think I must have shared something about my frustration and writing a letter. He said, "You remember that letter you wrote?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "We want you to go get it." I said, "Well, I'm not sure I can find it." He said, "We will wait." I went home, went down to my study, and I was looking through my drawers, and sure enough, I found it. I took the letter back up to the church. There they waited. And they said, "Let's go out into the carport." We went out to the carport, and they handed me a lighter. And they said, "Dave, we want you to burn this letter." And then they gathered around me and prayed for me. I don't know, brethren and sisters. I think about different events in life. Would I be where I am today? I don't think so. And I'm saying to us that, you know what, in times of deep struggle, and that's the part where when you're fighting the enemy, it's so important to have someone to stand beside you. Because often you will find that your decision making cannot be depended on in those moments of discouragement. How blessed is the person who has a threefold cord. I called Dave one evening. I was pretty discouraged, and I shared my woes, and he said, "Well, Dave," "are you engrafting the word?" And he said, "Here's what you need to do." And he gave me a passage of scripture, and he said, "Every night when you go to bed, I want you to personalize this scripture." And you know what? I did it. I just did what he told me to do. That's, again, the strength of having someone that's able to stand by you. Sometime after this young man had asked me if Satan's winning, the young people were up singing one Sunday. He was among that group. I looked at the smile on his face and the fervor of his spirit. I went up to him afterwards. I put my arm on his shoulder. I said, "I want you to know something. Satan is not winning." See, my prayer and passion, and I don't know if I can communicate what I want to communicate, but I see it so often in our churches that we're with people like us, but we kind of hold each other at arm's length. And I really do believe that we miss so much of what God intended for brotherhood. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Maybe you do well by yourself. Maybe you can fight those battles alone. Maybe you can tie your shoes. But I think many times that all that happens is the loneliness increases and the distance in relationships becomes greater. And pretty soon that single thread, and I wish I had a rope here, but that single thread phrase and is broken. How much better to establish accountable relationships, because a threefold cord is not easily broken. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing on our lives and for the opportunity that you've given us to stand beside each other and to encourage each other. And I pray for each one here today in a special way. Father, you know the deepest needs of our hearts. You know the deceitfulness of our heart. And you know how the enemy attempts to turn us aside. And I pray that in our churches and in our relationships, we would be able to discover ways to really support and stand beside each other so that we could be strong in the work of your kingdom. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.